You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Chris Kittens has quickly assumed the Labour leader position after Ardern's resignation last week, but has remained vague about what the party's specific goals heading this election year will be, while hinting at a refocus of policy direction. I talked to political commentator and writer Russell Brown about Hipkins, what Labour's policies could be, and what it could mean for the election. I started out by asking what policies we could expect to see change under Hipkins.
I think that pruning back of some of the big policies was going to come anyway. Ardern had said that late last year, and I think it was accepted within the party that they were taking on too much, and in particular taking on projects that perhaps weren't worth the controversy. I think you'll see the public broadcasting merger go. That's a given. Which is a shame, because there was actually a lot to commend that idea. I just don't think the government ever really made a coherent case for it, which was ironic because the previous broadcasting minister, Chris Farfoy, had in fact assembled a working group that made a very good case for it, but the government, you know, and Willie Jackson didn't seem to be able to deliver it. So that's gone. As for things like Three Waters, I see suggestions that Three Waters might go. I can't see that happening. It's in law now. Leases have been taken out for buildings. It will come through. And, of course, you've got the really core issue here, and the whole reason the thing was happening is that there's a fiscal crisis for local government looming with our water infrastructure if something isn't done. So I think that will be done. And for all the chest beating now, I suspect that if it is, then National may not, if it gets into power, do much with it. It's a similar thing to the health system reform. These things are locked in, and there was actually a case for them. So you'll certainly see some things go, yeah.
Hipkins has said he will stick to commitments made by Ardern. What changes does this rule out?
That's not clear. You'd have to go back and see exactly what commitments she made. Possibly that could mean something for the Social Unemployment Insurance Scheme, which has always been Grant Robertson's baby. Ardern hasn't said a lot about that. But, yeah, I'm not entirely sure what that means, to be honest.
Could that maybe refer to something like the capital gains tax?
Oh, capital gains tax, yeah, that's not going to happen. Ardern's ruled that out. There were a lot of people on the left unhappy when Ardern did that, but I suspect that she looked at the amount of political capital that doing it would burn up and whether the difference between what the government actually did do was extending the bright line test to try and catch people who were, you know, basically doing housing speculation, whether the difference between the two was actually warranted that much grief. I mean, it is ridiculous that New Zealand is one of the few developed economies that doesn't tax capital income, but it's become a hot button issue, and they won't go there. Yeah, probably the more interesting thing is whether the government addresses cost of living pressures with tax cuts or with the kind of tax credits like Working for Families, which Jacinda Ardern always favoured. I suspect it might be tax cuts rather than tax credits.
How does Hipkins compare to Ardern in terms of political position?
There's been a lot of nonsense talked about this, that, you know, because he comes from the Hutt Valley, it's a decisive shift away from the wokeness of Jacinda Ardern. There's a lot of wish fulfillment going on here. I noticed that Bryce Edwards at Victoria University and Sean Plunkett have made a great deal of the fact that in his brief speech yesterday, Hipkins referred to New Zealand rather than Aotearoa, and they're both suggesting that this is the end of wokeness, rather missing the fact that Hipkins marvelled at the araha in his chorus, and his new deputy, Carmel Sevaloni, concluded her remarks with, "I look forward to the mahi, kia ora." So there's a lot of people who want this to be true and want it to be some shift away from wokeness, whatever that is. Hipkins has been in the tent for quite a long time. He's good friends with Jacinda Ardern. You're not going to suddenly see him turn into a right-wing conservative. It's not going to happen. And apart from anything else, also in that short speech, he talked about the misogyny that Jacinda Ardern had been subjected to, and actually declared it was incumbent on men to call out misogyny wherever they saw it, which isn't, you know, that sounds pretty woke to me.
So you don't think Labor will try to reposition itself as a more centrist party?
They will. They were going to try and do that anyway. It would have been more difficult with Ardern in charge, I suspect, because that would have inevitably have been perceived as her reversing, whereas with a new personality at the top, it can be presented as, you know, in a much more orderly way, put it that way. I think whatever the reality of some of the public views on, you know, things like social unemployment insurance, that Labor did need to be seen to move towards the centre. I mean, it's not, you know, if you're a Green voter, you think Labor are there already. So a lot of these things are a matter of perception.
What has Hipkins' history in his previous portfolios been like?
It's actually interesting because I knew people who were, you know, pretty smart politics watchers who thought Hipkins would not do very well in government because he had been a pretty combative and fractious education spokesperson. Admittedly, there were big issues in education at the time, but he seemed to be a bit of a hothead, and yet when he got into government, he became the safe pair of hands. And when we needed the new health minister, acting health minister after the David Clark business, he stood up at press conferences and proved himself very capable of handling that environment, which is not easy. We tend to forget how good Jacinda Ardern was at that. She was very good on her feet. She was very well briefed. She always had an answer. And I don't think Hipkins is quite at that stage yet, but you saw it yesterday when, you know, there were 20 journalists all yelling questions at once, and he was able to manage that. And that's kind of important. And you have to say that's something that Christopher Luxon, for all his ascent in the polls, still can't do very well. And it's a really important political skill.
And I think finally, do you think this shift will be enough to win back swing voters?
Who knows? You know, if I knew that, I'd be, you know, betting money somewhere. But it may well help. I mean, it seemed shocking at the time when Ardern announced her decision, and then a bit less shocking not long afterwards. Okay, well, this gives them a chance for a reset, which would have been much more difficult to do with her still there in place, because everything would have been a back down.
That was Russell Brown on Chris Hipkins and what the new leader could mean for the Labour Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.